plot of ground that Jacob took his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was dead. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat tied by the well. It was about the sixth hour.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciple has gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is this that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jesus had no dealing with Samaritans."
Verses 10 to 12.
Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Sir, the woman said, "You have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his son and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again.
Well, you have read more than 3 verses. But we won't penalize you because it's your birthday. Verses 15 to 17.
He told her, "Go call your husband and come back."
Verse 17.
"I have no husband." She replied. He said to her, "You are right where you say you have no husband. The fact is you have 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. But you have just said it quite true."
Okay, verses 19 to 21.
"Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." Verse 20, "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews can claim that the place we were must worship is in Jerusalem." Verse 21, "Woman, disregard." Jesus replied, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem."
Okay, verses 22 to 24.
"You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we did do know for salvation from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers that the Father seeks. God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in their spirit and in truth."
Okay, 25th verse to 27.
Then Jesus declared, "I, the one who is with
you." 27. Okay, the last three verses, 28 to 30.
"The woman left her water pot and went her away into a city and said to the man, 'Come, see a man who has told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came unto him."
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many verses did you all read? 30 verses. And we took almost 5 minutes to do that. It's important to read, lah. If not, we always don't read. If it is not projected up there, then we don't read, right? So for the first time, maybe in your life that you're reading it.
Huh?
Many times, of course, of course. Okay, so if y'all have not heard last week's sermon, you can access it. We have it on the YouTube and all that. You can check it out. Because what drew my attention was, in verse 4, it says Jesus needed to go through Samaria. You remember that? Why did Jesus need to go through Samaria? All these words were not put there for fun. But you see, Jesus had to go through Samaria for a reason. And it was a very, very important reason. So this week, today, we're going to look at a few lessons we can draw from this Samaritan woman. The first thing that we are going to look at is what we also saw last week, verse 7. It says, give me a drink, right? Last week we say that when Jesus said, give me a drink, he was echoing what was in the heart and the spirit of the Samaritan woman. Remember that? He was echoing. It was not Jesus being thirsty. If you read through the whole 30 verses, Jesus didn't get a drink at the end of the 30 verses. He asked for a drink, he didn't get it. Yes, he was tired, he was thirsty, but he was echoing. He saw into the heart of the Samaritan woman and he spoke that out to begin to trigger the chain of conversations, the communication between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Then when you go down to verse 15, it says, sir, give me this water. At first, the Samaritan woman was debating with Jesus. Hey, you don't have this and all that, right? She was putting up all the arguments and defenses. And then when she realized that Jesus was talking about something else, in verse 15, it says, she told Jesus, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. So the first lesson I want all of you to be, open your heart, open your mind. The first very lesson you and I must know is, like the Samaritan woman, we do not know what we desire. Listen carefully to me before you jump into a conclusion. You and I are like the Samaritan woman. You do not know what you desire. The Samaritan woman every day went to the well drawing water. He ended up six men. She did not know what she desired. Very strange, right? Do you know what you desire? Do you know as a Christian what you desire? Not necessarily so. Why? Because this deep thirst in this Samaritan woman's heart was something she could not identify. Was something that she could not give a name to it. And Jesus began to help her to unmask that desire. That's why last week I say, why did Jesus have to go through Samaria? Finally, Jesus uncovered her true desire, her true capacity for the eternal. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says, God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. And unless the Holy Spirit awakened this in you, in me, we will be desiring everything else and not eternal things. Do you understand what I'm saying? You and I have a capacity for eternity, for the spirit realm. When you talk about eternity, the spirit realm is eternity. There's no hindrance of time, space in the eternal realm, the spirit realm. And every one of us is born with that capacity, with that desire and thirst for things of eternal value. And we do not know how to identify this thirst. We do not know what kind of a name to put to it. And like I said last week, we thought that the woman changed topic. When Jesus mentioned about something wrong, her sins, then everybody claimed that she changed topic. She switched topic to talk about worship. If Jesus, who had the gift of words of knowledge, could tell what's wrong with the woman, do you think Jesus couldn't tell she was switching topic? No. Jesus surely knew whether she was switching topic or not, right? And if truly the woman switched topic, he wouldn't have entertained it. But that was the true desire inside the Samaritan woman's heart. Not despite all her moral failures, people like to put it, or whatever her failures, deep in her heart, she wanted to find out true worship. And worship speaks of a capacity to contact, to interact, to commune with the spiritual realm, with eternity. And man has this thirst, this desire all along. If you don't believe me, you go and check all the Chinese literature and all other literature. People always write about realms they do not know. They talk about alien is not something new. Let's put it this way. Correct, huh? When I was small, I was exposed to the very movie that was deeply entrenched in my mind. E.T. Phone Home. You know that? I don't know. That's my age. When I was young. Do you know E.T. Phone Home? You cannot remember. E.T. Phone Home. E.T.
The movie.
The movie. No. I have also one alien. E.T. Phone Home. Here the finger can blink. Ding, ding, ding. E.T. Phone Home. And I told my daughters, when people went to hell, when God allowed them to visit to hell, they saw hellish creature. And when they came back to earth, when they watched the movie, they say, hey, we saw that in hell. And every household has one of those E.T. Phone Home. Okay, that's another story. Okay? You see that sometimes movies that we watch, who originated it? Every movie can either be heavenly inspired or demonically inspired. I'm not trying to be funny here, but that's the truth. So are you going to watch the movie tomorrow? So this woman, like this Samaritan woman, we do not know what we desire. It has always been deep inside you and me, a vague means unclear, a vague desire to be accepted. A vague desire for union. Not knowing that you and I have the capacity to be in union with God. We have a desire to be accepted. We have a vague desire for wholeness. You know why people run for prophecies? Some prophecies can be the same all along. You just want to hear that you are accepted. You want to have a sense of value and recognition. Correct or not? Wow, God knows me. Wow, I will be used. You can read all that in the Bible. But the fact that a third party talks to you about it, it touches the vague desire inside you. I also long for that, right? Nice, what people, someone who do not know you, talk about you being valued, you being, you having a big thing to do in life. It's just scratching the surface of the unnamed, unidentified desire. So like this Samaritan woman, we suffer this issue of not knowing what we desire. Why? Because this world, many voices sell to us their desire. Tell us what to desire. And I'm going to be very straightforward with you. I'm going to be very sincere with you. Inside the church and outside the church, they tell you what to desire. They tell you what to desire. The world will tell you to desire branded handbag. Correct? Branded phone. This is the most basic level. They sell you the desire. What? How nice you get the latest Huawei phone. Now people don't say iPhone anymore. No? Huawei has been the different benchmark. I do not know. You know, in my working place, when they want to take photo, they want my Huawei phone. Even though the iPhone is more expensive. Okay, sorry, you all look very spiritual. I shouldn't talk about handphone, right? Okay, so inside the church and outside the church, they are selling you, they are telling you what to desire. Because you do not know what to desire. You can't identify the thirst inside. So the church can tell you something, different thing. Different church you go, tells you different thing. I'm not here to tell you whether it's correct or not. But different church have different emphasis. We are all one body of Christ. There are different streams, right? You go to one church, they tell you you must evangelize. It's a great commission. It's the only thing in the whole Bible. Because that's the calling of the church, right? And they sell you that. If you don't evangelize, you feel like you cannot go to heaven. Have you been to such a church? Now I think I'm going somewhere, right? I have made your cause you all to think. To some church, it's not evangelism, it's something else. Community work. If you're not involved in the community work, you are like a useless bum or whatever. So different thing, they sell you. So different people who has unmet needs and unmet desire, listen to me carefully, or twisted desires, they will be attracted to different things that are being sold. To some people, okay, they like recognition, they are very sociable, they find a church that focuses on evangelism suit them. A lot of community work on, very good. I like social work. It appeals to me. So the mixture of voices, it calls out to the mixture of unmet and twisted desires inside you and me. It's a mouthful of a sentence. Do you catch it? All the mixture of voices outside. It can be inside the church or outside the church. I mean, it can be worldly voice. It can be spiritual voice. They are calling out to you to what is inside you. The mixture of desire, unmet and twisted. The Samaritan woman didn't know. She couldn't pinpoint, this is what I want. She has been searching. She felt uneasy. She doesn't know what is it. So the consequence of a person who does not know this unknown desire is what I've told you all before. Many people can be touched by the power of God, but their lives are never changed. People can get healed and never come to church again. Because to them, their desire is to get healed. I have no problem anymore. Why should I go to church anymore? Do you see that? Their lives are not changed, but they receive a miracle. I'm not saying miracles are wrong, but because they do not know what is their desire, their true desire inside of them, they go running everywhere to look for it. And when they get it, that's it. They can be touched by the power, they can receive healing, but they never repented. What is repent? They never turn their hearts towards God. Some people can get slain 10 times, 20 times a year, but you see them still gossiping. Why? Why? It doesn't touch your heart. It doesn't cause them to repent. So this, I cannot actually judge to say, is it then, when you do not know what you desire, is it then a superficial level of seeking? I would not say that, because some people go to every extent to find, to meet that desire. But that is the dangerous result. Because if we do not know our desire, and if we thought we have sought and met that desire, we could end up our lives never being changed, never being prepared for what God has called us to be. Amen? Are you following me? But to many people in the city, especially Christians in the city, we are all very blessed. Not many Christians now don't have food to eat, right? Huh? Maybe in the village, still do. But in a big city, you don't... I cannot say that you don't have one meal. You're struggling to have one meal. But this is the curse of blessing sometimes. The comfort of this world, the natural comfort, sometimes work against the desire in your heart. What do I mean? People who are blessed, people who have their life smooth, people who have all the natural comforts in their life, these natural comforts begin to mask that desire. These natural comforts begin to cause that natural desire to be numb. I'm okay, what? I have a car, everything is right, all right, I have a wife, everything, you know. Once in a while, they may say, I quarrel with my husband once in a while, or whatever. It's still okay, manageable. Once in a while, my boss call me, it's manageable. So the natural comforts mask and numb your spiritual or the inside desire. Because you do not know what is it. It is easy to be masked and it is easy to be numb. So likewise, my brother, my sister, sufferings and problems, trials and difficulties in your lives are actually God's grace to awaken you. God's grace and heaven-sent teachers to awaken you, to awaken that desire inside you. Otherwise, if everything is all right, you will never spend time, spend the effort to go to a place, to listen to a sermon. You will never take the time to think, why am I on this earth? Because you are happy. Natural comforts would have masked, would have numbed all that inner desire. But something happened in your life. There was a crisis, there was a difficulty, something that could not be solved so easily. Some natural problem, some natural difficulties, a suffering. That is God's grace, my friend. As much as we don't like it, as much as we think, oh, this is of the devil, this is God's grace. Hallelujah. God sent it, a teacher from heaven, so that there is an opportunity to awaken that desire inside you. When you are in problem, when you have your trials, difficulty, and suffering, like what Jesus told the Samaritan woman, if you know who is it that say, give me this drink. If you know who is it that say, do you have that verse? You have read 30 verses, I'm sure you know that, right? Jesus asked, give me a drink. Then she began to argue with Jesus in verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, tell your person to your left, to your right. If what? If what? If? What are the first three words there? If you knew. Turn to your left, to your right. If you knew. If you knew. If only you knew. If you knew. That's the problem with us. What's the problem?
We don't know.
Entire, huh?
No problem.
Huh? If you don't know, you don't know. But Jesus said, if you knew. The Samaritan woman didn't know. Didn't know what was Jesus asking. Didn't know who was it that was asking her. It boils down to these three words. If you knew. If you knew the trial that was sent your way was not from the devil but from God. God allowed it. God permitted it. If you knew that the things that happen in your office, if you knew the things that happen in your family, if you knew the things that happen to your health was allowed by God, was a gift of God. Yo, even sounds blasphemous, right? You mean my suffering is a gift of God? If you knew. That's why even the Bible says sometimes you entertain angels unaware because you don't know. Drawing the same parallel, many times you meet people, people ask for your help, you don't know, they are strangers, and you help them, and they turn out to be angels. Bible says there will be such instances in our lives. You turn around, the person just disappears. Hey, where did the person go? This Bible says there'll be times in our lives we will entertain angels unaware because we do not know. Drawing the same parallel, many times the things and the people that cause trouble in your life, in my life, I haven't sent. Like my wife and myself always tell our daughters, the friends you meet in the playground, it's a lesson for you. What kind of friends you meet? It's a lesson. How can it be? It's a teacher. God allows it to happen. If you knew that particular person you were dealing with, it's a lesson. How I respond. Nowadays, children are so different from children of old. They can come up with all kinds of things. Whatever they say and whatever they communicate with you. How do you respond as a Christian? That is a lesson. Drawing the same parallel, they are not angels, they are not demons. You may think, so they are demons, is it? I entertain demons unaware. No. I'm just saying, if we knew it was Jesus hidden in the natural, when Jesus went to the Samaritan woman, he didn't wear a name tag, I'm Jesus. Correct enough. Jesus hidden in the natural. The Samaritan woman got angry when she met Jesus. You don't talk to woman. You are a Jew. Argue with Jesus, you know. Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus can be hidden in the natural. If you knew those things that happen in our lives were Jesus hidden in the natural, God is always working in your life, in my life. We do not know it. We do not see it. And what is he doing? What is he working? Like in this story of the Samaritan woman, he is always working. He's allowing circumstances. He's orchestrating circumstances. He's putting a person here. He's putting a hindrance here. He's allowing this thing to happen so that you identify, so that you are awakened to the capacity and the desire for eternal things, for God. Many people do not know that. Because they say, no, the church says this is more important. Yes, that's what the church sells you. What about Jesus? What was Jesus trying to awaken? Lesson number two, like the Samaritan woman, we do not know what we worship. Wow, ini lagi is lagi kau one more level. Just now, Jesus said, if you knew, we do not know, right? And then, in verse 22, Jesus went straight to the point to the Samaritan woman. You do not know what you worship. Correct or not? If you see verse 22, Jesus immediately went straight to the Samaritan woman. I don't think he pointed his finger. Say, you do not know what you worship. We do not know what we worship. We do not know what we worship. Scary or not? In Genesis chapter 1, we are told that we are created in the image of God. Image and likeness of God. What is God? In 1 John, we learn that God is? Okay, in the Gospel of John, God is the Word, you're right. 1 John, we've gone through it recently. God is? Spirit. More than that, L-O-V-E. God is love. God is love, correct? If God is love, you were created in God's image and likeness. Who are you? Who are you? Love. We were created in the image and likeness of God. When you and I were created, when Adam was created, he was love. Wow. He was love. But because of sin, man fell. Remember, a few weeks ago, we said we have to become love. Because now we are no longer love. But that was the original design. You were created in God's image, you were love. But because of the fall of sin, it's twisted. And that is also the reason we do not know what we worship. Why? When you were created, what is love? We are not talking about the pop songs. Love is many, many things, right? What is love? Okay, love is a verb and love is all that, right? Love is always giving, right? That one, whether outside or inside or the Bible. It's true, love is always giving. Am I correct to say that? Huh? Love is always flowing out. We were created in the image and likeness of God. We are supposed to have a flowing out love because we are love. We are created to worship God, to commune with God. There is a river that commune. That the Trinity always has a divine, never-ending fellowship, never-ending communion. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And we are created to be part of that communion, part of that fellowship. The moment sin entered into our lives, hello, look here, the flow outward is now inverted. What has it become? It's no longer a river. What has it become? Sister Pat, what has it become? It becomes a lake. A dam. A lake. You and I were created to be river, to be love. You are love. We can easily release love. We can easily worship. We can easily commune with God. But the moment sin entered, that flow got inverted. It's just flowing to us only. We got tricked by the serpent. Did God really say? The whole focus was yourself. The first whole focus was God denied you the best. If you eat this fruit, you will become like him. The focus was self. So what was dominant? What was spirit which was dominant? The soul has now come to the forefront. What was meant to be a river has now turned into a lake. Stop flowing anymore. We do not know what we worship anymore. We only worship self. Do you capture that? Because of sin, we do not know what we worship anymore. Like the Samaritan woman, Jesus said, you do not know what we worship. That's a true fact. It's reflective of every human being on this earth. We were created to be love. Because of sin, now it's become, instead of a river, it becomes a lake. Stop flowing anymore. That is why Jesus said, when you believe in him, when you drink of him, then you will begin to have the rivers again. That was the original design. If you believe in me, if you are thirsty, you come, you believe in me, you drink, out of from your belly will flow rivers. That was the original design. Now it has become a lake. Only when it is a river, you can love others, you can worship God, you can serve. It has to be a river. You do not know what we worship. If you and I do not have that river, you and I are worshipping self. Very harsh word. We do not know what we worship. And Jesus had to purposefully orchestrate this encounter with the Samaritan woman. He could have done it in a village, he could have done it in a house, but he chose the location, a well. He chose the backdrop of a well to make a lasting and a deep impression to all of us. Because once we capture this image of a well, we begin to step into the mystery of living from the well. Many people do not has never thought of, has never really unraveled. What is this mystery of living from the well? Many people say, I know Jesus. I believe in Jesus. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Done. Now I can go and serve. I can do this, do that. Christianity is living from a well. Jesus purposefully orchestrated this backdrop of a well for a very important reason. We don't just accept Jesus once in a lifetime. We don't just drink from him. Some people become very holy and fast and all that during the Lent season. Do you know what I mean? Now is the Lent season, right? L-E-N-T. They really do all the rituals. So once in a life, in a whole year, they are very holy, they fast, they think about the cross, they think about Jesus. Cannot be every day one. So that's a mistake. But Jesus took the backdrop of a well to show us We are to live from the well. It is a constant coming to God. It's a constant turning to God. Wherever we go, wherever we are, it's a constant moment by moment turning to God. Drawing from the well. That is the secret of Christian lives. It's not once in a week, I go, I get, I got fed, I receive something. No. If I tell you that, I have an ulterior motive. You come here only you get fed. You come here only you get blessed. No, I will never say that. You are supposed to learn to live from the well. If you come here and you do not know how to learn to live from the well, I could have failed in my job. You are supposed to learn to live from the well. You are supposed to be able to tap. How do I tap from the well anywhere, anytime I am? Not until when I'm in trouble, then I call for help. In trouble, then I pray and I fast. No, the secret of Christian living is you learn to live from the well. When you have no problem, you live from the well. It's a constant turning. Remember what Pastor Bernard Hall told us? You keep coming to Him. You keep feeding from Him. Remember that? There is this table of Jesus or the table of demon. You keep coming to Him. You keep going to Him. You keep turning your attention to Him. You say, I cannot do that while I'm working. Yes. It doesn't mean that you have to sit. Huh? The boss call you. Wait. Oh, Jesus. Yeah? Some people think that you have to be like that. Huh? Or you're in the middle. I'm in the car. I cannot pray. Or wait. You got to go to the side. Oh. Doesn't have to be that. Jesus teaches us. It's a well. And the well will be inside you. Jesus promised the woman, once you drink from here, it will become a fountain inside you. When it is a fountain inside you, you learn to drink from it. Moment by moment, good times, bad times, you become a well. Amen. How? Another day lah. At least something for you to ponder. How do you drink from the well? Correct, no? You must go back and think. How do I drink from the well? I've been a 20 years Christian. I've been a 30 years Christian. Do you know how to drink from the well? I know how to pray. I can read the Bible. Yes. When you read the Bible, do you drink from it? When you pray, do you drink from it? You mean I've not done anything wrong? No. The moment when you listen to a sermon, do you drink? When you read a spiritual book, a devotional book, do you drink? When you read newspaper, do you drink? No. You can also drink. But you'll be drinking from the wrong source. But God can use anything to speak to us. God can use a donkey. You're drinking from a donkey. Huh. If you knew it was the gift of God, you can drink from any source. But of course, very careful. I'm just speaking this to mature Christians. I'm not saying, you know, to everyone. Because then everyone, then I can drink from Buddha. You see, we are not going there because we know what we believe, who we believe in. Amen. We don't have to go there because we have the foundation. Amen. Are you following me? So our thirst, our need for Him, the unidentified desire, the one that you cannot put a name to it, one, it's not a periodical thing. It's not a sudden search. I need God. It's a permanent feature that you are wired with. You are created that way, that you have a permanent longing and thirst for God. And the way to satisfy that is to keep on living from the well. Living from the well. Living from the well. Drinking from the well. Drinking from the well. Amen. Are you catching me? Okay, let's go to the third point. Like the Samaritan woman, we are trapped in a time puzzle. I like to do very nice subtopics, right? You listen? What is this time puzzle that we are talking about? I'm sorry, excuse me, I'm drinking something. Our fathers, verse 19, our fathers worship on this mountain. The Samaritan woman was trapped in the ancestors' time, you know. Correct or not? When Jesus talked to him, suddenly he brought the past all the fathers, long time, hundreds of years ago. He was trapped in that time. Our ancestors worship on this mountain. You Jews say that in Jerusalem. Do you see that, Sister Pat? Verse 19. Our ancestors. Hello? Your past. You are stuck to the past. I like to always use this illustration. What year are we living in? We are, all of us know we are living in 2019, right? Why we always say, you know or not, 3 years ago, how my mother-in-law treated me. So you're not living in 2019, you're living in 2016. You see that, huh? 3 years ago, your mother-in-law treated you. But you're so fresh in your mind, your memory. So when are you living in? 2016, am I right? Oh, you don't know. Last time my husband, before he became a Christian, how he beat me up. How long ago was that, sister? Oh, 25 years ago. Oh, you're so fresh. So fresh, you recall it. You're living in the past, you know. Like this Samaritan woman, you're trapped in that time zone. You do not need a time machine. You're trapped there. You awaken it, you resurrected all these things of the past, and you make it so real. You don't know, pastor. You don't know, brother, what I experienced. When was that, sister? No, you don't know. You mean yesterday he beat you again? No, 17 years ago. 17 years ago. And you're still stuck in the 2019 minus 17? Huh? 2002. You're stuck in 2002. Very interesting. This Samaritan woman appeared to have a time machine. After he traveled to the past, now he traveled to the future. Verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. You know, when Jesus talked to him, then he bring the past. Our ancestors say that. Then when he thinks, I don't know what. I know Jesus. I know there is a Messiah coming in the future. Correct, huh? She wasn't living in the now. She was never living in the now. She was either living in the past or she's living in the future. What will happen, 10th of May later. Why? What do you have on 10th of May? Something very important, meeting, 10th of May, now you're April, you start worrying already, you know. You already live on the 10th of May already. You carry it so long already, you know. 10th of May, I got something, 10th of May, I got something. Please pray for me, 10th of May, 10th of May. You are living in the future. Do you see that? Has it come? Has 10th of May come? Long time to go, right? What did Jesus say? Verse 26. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you. If you have a printed Bible, the he is italics in italics. What does that mean? There's no he in the original text. What does that mean? Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am. I am. I'm the same God that appeared to Moses. And Moses said, what's your name? I am the I am. I am the present God. I'm not stuck in the past. I'm not coming in the future to help you. Yes, I promise I'll do that. But I am. I'm now. The reason we cannot step into what God has prepared for us is we are either in the past or we are either worried about our future. We are despondent about the future and we are troubled by the future. I don't know, when my child grows up, don't know who will pay for his education. When we are no more, you see, now we are old, no more, don't know who's going to take care of him. Normal, right? Legitimate things that we think. Correct or not? Now I like that, later something happened, I don't know who's going to take care. I am. Jesus said, wait, let's live in the present. Let's live in the present. I am the I am. I will be the I will be. But now, I am the I am. Now, I am here. Now, I meet the unnamed, unidentified desire. Now, I be the well for you. Now. You're always in the past or in the future and you miss the encounter. You miss that encounter. You keep on missing that encounter. No lah, the meeting lah. No lah, that one lah. No, the past lah. No, 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 no. I am. I am. Jesus said, I am. I'm speaking to you now. I am. Live in the now. For now. For now. Now. Come and meet with me. Come and talk with me now. I'm here with you now. Some people stuck in the past. Not just mother-in-law or whatever-in-law. But the regrets. If I wish I can turn the clock 10 years, I can change the way I treat my children. Don't live there. When you live in regrets, you cannot be in the now. The regrets will chain you. The worries of the future will chain you. Now learn to live in the present, to encounter the God who is present. He chooses to identify himself as the I am God. I am the I am. Other things will trick you. Think of the future, think of the past. Jesus said, now, live in the now, come and encounter me in the present. Amen. Last one and we'll close. This one, I like it very much. Why did Jesus have to go through Samaria? We then found out, Jesus finally said, the Father is seeking for true worshippers. Remember? Jesus was only doing what the Father was doing. Jesus had to go through Samaria because the Father was seeking. If it's easy to find, you don't have to seek, right? You don't have to seek if it is easy to find. But the Father is seeking. We'll go to that another time because this is very deep. We can ponder and meditate on. But look here. Look here, it's very interesting. This Father is seeking, right? This is the Father, heart of God. When Jesus heard of something, the Pharisees wanted to catch him and all that. Jesus knew, Jesus saw, Jesus perceived he had to go to Samaria. Right? Correct? Because the Samaritan woman is ready. Right at that point, Jesus felt in the heart, Jesus saw into the spirit, heavenly realm, oh, now is the time for that Samaritan woman. She is ready. She is ready. And we know she was ready because last week we saw she let go of the water pot. Remember? We can be ready when we are willing to part, P-A-R-T, with whatever we have attached our happiness to. We cling on to what we think will make us happy. We cling on very tightly. We thought that this thing will make us happy. We cling on so tightly. But Jesus knew that day, that afternoon, this Samaritan woman was ready to let go of the water pot. Now I'm going to meet her because she was ready. Just do the maths yourself, my brothers, my sister. Why not on the second husband? When she had the second husband, why wasn't she ready yet? She still wanted to try the third husband. Why not on the fourth husband? She wasn't ready to let go the idea of not having a husband. She tried on one more time. Jesus didn't go when she had the third, the fourth, the fifth husband. Jesus knew the perfect timing when the Samaritan woman was ready to let go of that which she thinks will give her happiness. Only when we are ready to let go of that which we think will give us happiness, we are ready. We are ready for an encounter with the Father who has been seeking all this while. The Father has been seeking all through our lives. He has been arranging circumstances all through our lives. But it has always never come to fruition because each time He wants to come to something, we are not willing to let go. Oh, we go for another husband. Oh, we try another time. Maybe this time it will work. We cling on to that which we are secure to, which we have fed ourselves with, that which we think would give us happiness. And we will never be able to receive the gift as long as we are not willing to part with it. It took the sixth man. It took the sixth person. She cannot call husband anymore. I don't know whether it's because of law or she say, yeah, no need to get married. Either he's going to die or I'm going to divorce him. It's not going to work. It's okay. I'm just going to hang out with this guy. I give up. Six speaks of man. The number six speaks of man. When we come to the end of ourselves. When we are still very active with a lot of ideas. God is very kind. God is a gentleman. Go ahead. God is saying, oh, you're very clever. Good. Go ahead. I will not force you. Oh, you can. Okay. Go. That's your Jesus. That's my Jesus. He won't force you on.
Hey, what? Sorry, I think you still don't
want. I never do anything. He's a gentleman. You don't want? Your choice. But he will keep working.
He will keep arranging circumstances. He will keep sending teachers through trials, through difficulties. He will keep doing things again and again. He will keep coming. Doesn't happen again. He will keep coming. But he will never force.
You still cannot let go? Okay, fine. Third husband. Still cannot let go? Fourth husband. Fifth husband. Until the sixth one already, she said, hey, what I've been doing is not right. She got the wisdom of Benjamin Franklin. If you do the same thing over and over again, thinking that you will change the result, that is what we call insanity. She found out, hey, what I've been doing is not right. She was willing to come to the end of herself. She was ready to part with the water pot. And it led to the unveiling of the Kairos moment in her life. Her life, the timing of her life, suddenly overlaps with the divine timing in the spirit realm. Wow, I like that, man. So long as you live your own life, and this is God's design, God's destiny for you in His divine timing. If it doesn't overlap, we will never come to the fulfilling of it. We will always know what to do. Pray harder. Fast more. Do this more. Not wrong. But is that what God wants you to do? Or are you trying out of your own effort? Oh, I must go and look for it. I must just do this. I must serve until, I'm very tired. Then it shows that I love God very much. If that is what God asks you to do. Amen. But if He doesn't ask you to do, you end up getting sick after you serve God. Then you don't blame God, right? Correct or not? Amen. Those men of God, they admit themselves. Why did they get into sickness and all that? They didn't take care of their bodies. It's got nothing to do with them doing the will and the call of God. Amen. So, when that life of yours overlaps with the spiritual timing, with your divine destiny, your Kairos moment has come. Jesus said, I cannot. I must go to Alex's house. I must go to Albert's house. Today, he's going to pray. I'm going to meet him there. I cannot. Jesus said, this is the time I'm going to meet him. He has come. He's ready. I cannot. I need to go through. Puchong. Not Samaria. I need to go through there. Because the time has come. He's ready. He's willing to let go. Hallelujah. It's the unveiling of the Kairos moment in her life that day. And Jesus did not come in a very pompous way. And we miss Jesus many times. We think that Jesus should come in a very, royal way. Big church, mega church, Jesus will come in a, like, but Brother Albert will tell you. He found God working in a lot of all the small churches. In the village churches that people don't go. But God is there. They have nothing to be proud of. Sometimes they don't. We go there, we also think, yeah, first time I went to Indonesia, the no door to the toilet. I say, where's the door? No door. Huh? Okay. First time, I was scared. You no door one. How to pee? First time, they just throw me there. So I pee, I come out, I share. First time, I tried bahasa. And they were so hungry, and God just met with them. Why it took six husbands? Do you want to take six husbands to until the your destiny comes? Don't want lah. We must be smart people, right? The Bible tells us six husbands don't mean that we have to, doesn't mean that we have to also fail six times. Amen. Or you want to go through the six husbands? Eh? No, right? Because I see all of you like, maybe can also lah. Why it took six husbands? Is there a shorter path? Huh? Asians, Chinese, all know the shortcut one. We all want shortcut. Other shortcut lah. Huh? Is there a shorter way? Yes, there is a shorter way. The key word is the Father is seeking. Who is seeking? The Father is seeking. Jesus didn't say God is seeking. Jesus didn't say the Almighty is seeking. Jesus said the Father is seeking. If you become like a child, you will cut short the six husbands. If you and I become simple, a little more simpler, a little more childlike, you and I won't need to put on that mask anymore. Just be who you are. Child, I'm not talking about childishness. I'm talking about childlikeness. You know a child, right? You beat the mommy. Mommy, I don't like you. You punish me. You came in, mommy. You count at least 10 seconds. You count, mommy, I love you so much. You think if she will remember the past, you know, how my mom beat her so hard that she's not going to call mama for 5 minutes. They forget easily, forgive easily. That's a child. But we cannot. Must remember. Next time, post you. Revenge. Do you think a child will do that? Childlikeness won't do that, right? Mommy, I love you. Simplicity. We have become so complex, a Christian creature that has become so complex. There must be so many things you must listen to. There must be so many steps you must do. Now, what if you come like a child to the Father? Do you think the Father will reject you? No. You must do things like this. What if we let go of our independence? We come simply to God, our Father. Because at the end of the day, it is an encounter between a seeking father and a seeking child. A child who does not know the way. What is it? What has been always stirring in my heart? Why caused this to happen? I don't understand God. What is it, all this? No. He's on his way to... And the father thinks, yes, I can see my child now from afar. He's coming back. It's an encounter between a father and a child. And a father will never, never, ever leave him. Will never, ever forsake him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What caused that desire inside you for God? That capacity inside you to commune with the spiritual realm? What caused that to be hidden? Complexity. We become so complex. We become so independent. So it's the same way. The choice is still ours. Some people prefer to have six husbands first. Some people prefer to keep going through trials. But sadly, some people go through trials and trials and trials, and after they die, they have never truly understood what is it in their heart. What is that capacity? They have never truly tasted the presence of God. They have never truly tasted what it means to be in union with God. Huh? Can one? God and man can. Then why Jesus come? Jesus come just to entertain you on a Sunday? Jesus had to die a cruel death? For what? Jesus had to die for a cruel death so that you can be in union with Him. He longs for it so much. He longs that you and Him can be joined together so much. And after He has done that, we just say, I'm a Christian now. I must serve God. I must do this. I must do that. Do you know Him? Do you know you have a desire for Him? No, I must serve God. No. Wait. My question is, do you have a desire? Do you have a desire for Him? Have you felt His heartbeat? Have you drank from His well before? If you have never drank from His well before, all the things that you do, you are just releasing from your own well. It's limited. Correct or not? And there's always a limit. Oh yeah, my love has a limit. My ability has a limit. But when you tap on to that well, what you do, your love is unlimited. Because it's no longer your love, man. How can people withstand persecution? How can people withstand all those things? It's no longer them. It's no longer them. It's the well. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like 2,000 years ago tonight, Jesus is still seeking. Jesus is still seeking. If it is so easy, He could have used other words. But He used, the Father is seeking. The Father is longing. The Father is calling out. The Father is wooing His children. Because when you know Him, don't worry about serving Him. When you know Him, when you are in union with Him, you will do great exploits. When you are in intimacy, that is how you become fruitful. Correct or not? In nature, as in spiritual. But we worry about, I want to do this, I want to do that. Wait. Let's get the first things right. Let's be in union with Him. Let's hear His call. Let's come to that place of intimacy. Naturally, doors will be open for you to serve. Naturally, you will be able to be a blessing to wherever you go. Naturally, things will fall in its place. Jesus will know how to go to Samaria. The woman didn't have to, when will it come and all that. Jesus knew when to go. Tonight, what do you know, there is this longing in your heart? Have you ever thought that the things that happened in your life, those were sent by God, those were allowed by God to awaken something inside you? To awaken something so pure, so deep inside you. Once you are awakened to that, you will not settle for anything less than the manifest presence of God. Once you have tasted it, once you know you have a capacity for that, you will not settle for anything less. The reason people settle for things that are less, because they have never been awakened to it, they have never tasted it. And that is a very sad thing to happen to the Christian body. Because you are not never awakened to the fact that you can actually be exposed and experience tangibly the spiritual realm. And not just filling your mind intellectually. You can be so immersed into the spirit realm that is so real. That you will not give up any. You will not settle for anything less. That's why it's always a pain in my heart. When will God visit His people again? When will God visit His people again? Each time I watch videos when God visits His people, when will God do it again in my day? When will God do it again in our midst? It's not about building a ministry. It's about having a place people can come, and God comes and meet with his people. Isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful? Shall we stand? Father, I do not know what is the state of our hearts. Lord, we acknowledge to you that sometimes we don't even know. We can't even give a name. We can't even identify the desire in our hearts. We don't even know what we are seeking, O God. Sometimes we don't even know what we are worshipping, God. But Lord, to be able to come to the place where we realize we do not know what we desire. We do not know what we worship. It's truly a work of your grace. It's truly a work of your Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we continue on in our lives, thinking that we know everything, thinking that we are doing everything we should be doing. And yet we miss what matters most in our lives. We are created with the capacity for eternity, O God. The temporal cannot fill us. There is such a deep depth inside each one of us that can only be filled by God and God alone. The day when we decided to welcome you into our hearts as our Savior and Lord, that was just the first step we took. Forgive us, God, when we thought that there was everything. Forgive us, we thought that the moment we asked you in, we thought that that is all and we can live our own lives. But God, throughout our lives, God, you have been gracious. You have sent circumstances, you have orchestrated difficulties. You have allowed trials in our lives, oh God. Not to harm us, not to destroy us. But you send these things in our lives as teachers to us. You send these things in our life with a purpose to awaken us. To awaken us. To look for the city. To look for that new Jerusalem. To look for the kingdom of God. To look for that spirit realm. To commune with the God who has created us. To love. To worship. To fellowship with you. God, we major on all the minor things in our lives. The less important things in our lives, we magnify them. And that is why, Lord, sometimes we miss the mark when that which is the most important, we despise. We think that it is not important in our lives. So, Father, we pray tonight that your Holy Spirit will awaken each of our hearts, O God. We pray that your Holy Spirit will stir our hearts. Will stir that longing, will stir that desire in our hearts, O God. That only the Holy Spirit can do. And when that begins to happen in our lives, everything makes sense, oh God. The trials that we go through, the difficulties that we go through, the challenges in life, take on a different dimension. Take on a whole new meaning in life. Every word we read in the scriptures take on a new dimension. We now appreciate every word in the Word of God. Now things begin to make sense. Why am I called an overcomer? Now things begin to make sense. Now I know why the kingdom of God is within me. Now why I understand why Paul says the things that cannot be seen are more real than the temporal things. That the unseen things are of a higher value, are of a higher reality. And we begin to stop pursuing things that we can see. Father, awaken our hearts, O God. We come to you in humility. Come and awaken our hearts to our true condition. Come and awaken our hearts to a true knowledge of what we truly desire, what we truly are born to be, are created for, are wired for. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are a good God. You have been working throughout our lives, and you will not let us go now. You will increase in your work in our lives. You will intensify your work even as the end time draws near. You are wooing, you are calling your bride to their true position, to their true destiny, to their true callings, O God. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that all this cannot be done by human hands, cannot be done by human voices, but it is true the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Brother, sister, I just want to welcome you to open your hearts. How do you open your hearts? Just talk to God. Whatever you have heard tonight, let's just forget about the person beside you. Nobody's going to listen to you. Can we just devote this time, you know, put aside every distraction, put aside everything that troubles you. Leave aside the things of the past or the worries of the future and come face to face with the God of the present. I am the I Am standing in front of you. Will you open your heart and talk to Him tonight? You talk to Him by opening your heart and say, God, I never considered all these things. Or whatever that you have heard tonight that has somehow spoken to you, grab hold of that. Don't let it go and talk to God about it. Say, God, I don't fully understand this, but I've never thought of it this way. Can you be real to me, O God? Can you speak to me? Can you come to me? Can you help me? Can you awaken me, O God? So I want you to just open your heart. Don't be scared. Don't be embarrassed or anything. Just talk to God. Open your mouth. You listen to yourself, talk to God. Hallelujah. You're going to sing this song. You don't have to sing. You just talk to Jesus and you welcome the Holy Spirit to work in our midst. You just sing this song, Jesus. It's a very simple one. Jesus with a desire in our hearts. Jesus.
this is not just a song. When we sing this again, put all your desires into this song. Put all your desires when they call out Jesus. And I'm telling you, Jesus will be very real to you as you use your heart to call him. You're not singing a song. You're not making a noise or a sound. I'm going to tell you this. If you take this seriously, Jesus will be as close as the mention of his name. If you call him out from a sincere heart, from your heart, you know he's right there with you even now. Let's do that again. We're going to sing this again. If you don't want to sing, it's okay. But make sure, posture your heart. You say you must meet with Jesus. You must let this Jesus come to you tonight. You do not want to let this Jesus pass you by tonight. You are not here to meet a man, to listen to a man's voice. You are here to meet with Jesus. If that is you, position your heart for that. And Jesus will encounter you. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Shakara Hantokobo Shanna.
For you, Lord.
Seperti Bapa Tuhan datang berdekatmu. Bukalah hatimu berbapa kasihnya. Tunggu hatimu sekarang. Satu hatiku Bapa, biar Bapa kasihnya pulihkan hatimu, bukalah hatimu. Biarlah sesiapa yang meninggalkanmu, biarlah siapa yang meninggalkan engkau, karena Bapa surgawi adalah Bapamu. Bapa surgawi tidak akan tinggalkanmu, Bapa surgawi akan selalu bersamamu. Di setiap musim di dalam hidupmu, di sepanjang jalan hidupmu. Yeah.